Everybody, we are now in Parashat Vayigash. Also, like all the Parashat, a very interesting Parasha. In our Parasha, it looks like an happy end. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. But the real truth behind it, it's not exactly an happy ending. It's more like, let's say, a crucial point in the life of Bnei Israel, the sons of Yaakov, which is also called Israel, as we all know. And when we look through the Parshiot, we are really amazed how the brothers don't see that is Joseph standing in front of them. Yeah. But as we all know, sometimes when you don't want to see something, you don't see it. It can be in front of your eyes, and you won't see it.
Because he is biduk like his father. Yes.
He's not only like his father.
Especially when he speaks.
He knows exactly how to sit them. He mentions God a few times. He eats kosher. The whole story is very strange.
Do they know this?
They see that he sits separately and doesn't eat with the Egyptians.
Yes.
The name of God is mentioned a few times.
When you say to yourself, my God, we saw
him. You say, exactly. Yeah. You don't want him. You don't want it to be him.
Yes.
Because to find him as a slave or in a brothel or whatever, we were right. And now we are such good brothers that we're going to save him anyway. But
because they were looking for him.
Of course, as we talked about it. The thing is that suddenly in our parasha, Yosef tells them, Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avi Chai. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? And they say that this sentence is one of the hardest sentences in the Bible. Because this is really a rebuke to the brothers to tell us that at the end of the day, even if you try not to see and not to look in the right way, it will come and confront you. The truth will come. When you stand in front of God, all the stories and all the rounding angles and everything is not going to help you. Because God knows exactly who you are, what you did wrong, and what you did right. So all the excuses you've got, and all the things that you feel something is wrong, but doesn't suit me now. So I go in my way. The Midrash says, look at those tribes that couldn't stand this small tribe, Joseph, what would we say in the judgment day? And what is it all about? So first of all, Vayigash Yehuda. Yehuda suddenly decides he has to approach Joseph and to talk to him to his ear. And the question is why? Why does he have to tell the story again? The same story that was told last week in the parasha. The thing is, there are a few explanations. Because he's really telling again the same story that was told last week. So why does he need... Joseph knows the story. The thing is that Judah thinks that Joseph didn't get the story right. Why? Two reasons. One, because there is this translator that is there, and maybe he's translating the things in a different way than what it is. And then maybe it was a big hole and Joseph was on the other side and they couldn't approach him, and something happened there. There is a problem. And he decides, I have to approach him and tell him the story. Because he's asking who you are. He says, we are 10 brothers. We came to Egypt because there is no food.
He has a young brother.
Yes.
He was married with 13 children.
With the young brother.
Benjamin, yeah.
He's still the young brother. It's like your kids. They are your kids.
That's my kid.
It's a different. No, in this case, it's not a different story. He is the youngest. He's the young brother, and he's still the young brother. The unbelievable thing here is that how could he even approach Joseph? Let's imagine to ourselves the picture. It's this big hall, and Joseph is standing on the other side on a throne or whatever, and he is of course surrounded with soldiers, a guard, and the translator is like listening to the brothers and then going and telling Joseph what translates what it is. How is it even possible to get near Joseph? But the thing here is that Judah was not just another guy. And Judah just says, "Vayomer bi adoni, yedaber na avdecha davar bozne adcha ve'al yechar abcha be'avdecha." He says, "I have to speak and tell you the story by myself, not through a translator, because something is wrong here. You asking us, what do you do here?" He says, "We came to have food. Who you are? We are 10 brothers." And he says, "No, you spies." No, you spies. This sounds like I'm saying a tomato and you're saying a cucumber. But what's going on here? I'm asking you how you are, and I says, $100. Well, what's the connection between the questions and the answers? Like everything we say, you say we are spies, but we are answering you and telling you about our family, and you are spies. You are spies. So something must be wrong. So he approaches Joseph and wants to tell him in his ears the story. So he tells him the story again. And while he's telling the story, again and again he's mentioning the father. And he says, "Yesh lanu av zaken," in Pasuk 20. "You asked us if you have a father." I says, "Yes." Pasuk 20.
Yeah.
"Yesh lanu av zaken." We have an old father. "Ve'yelet zkunim katan," and a small kid. "Ve'achiv met," and his brother died. "And he is alone to his mother, and his father loves him, and you tell us to bring him, and he cannot leave his father. If he leaves his father," ve'azav et aviv, the end of Pasuk 21, what's written? "Ve'azav et aviv," and what will happen?
His father will die.
"Vamet," and then he's going on. And in Pasuk 29, like they're telling him what will his their father think, "Velakachtem gam et ze," you will take the binyamin, so I'm going to, something is going to happen, chas v'chalila, "and vorat mesevati b'ra'a she'ola," and "you will doom me, I will be doomed."
He knows his father's alive, and then he asks, "Is my father
alive?" In a minute, we'll get to it. Because you see, the father is mentioned so many times in the story that Yehuda is telling. And again, if we look at the Pasuk 31, "Vaya biroto," and if our father will see that the boy is not here, "Vohorido adecha et tzevat avdecha avinu biyagon sheol," again, they're talking about, he it will be sorrow to the grave. So, in Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Vav. So, what did we learn from what Yudat told us? What is the main lesson? What do you think is the main lesson in the story that Yudah is telling?
That his father is only one son left from his family.
In other words, our father is going to suffer. Okay? Yeah. That's the message. No?
Yeah.
That's the message. So then in Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk 1, Velo Yachol Yosef Litapek, Yosef cannot take it anymore. So he sends everybody out. And in Pasuk 3, Vayomer Yosef Elechav, and Joseph is telling his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? What's the connection between I am Joseph to my father is still alive? Didn't he just now heard the whole story about his father? So is his father alive or not?
Yes.
So what is this question? They just told you that the father is alive. What is this question?
Does he know what went on? What happened to me?
Who said this?
He said it, but then they implied.
Oh, you're saying it.
Are they implying?
okay.
You know, the way he asked, is it implying that, you know, the shock of my disappearance didn't kill him? Sort of thing?
So, well, what does he say? What does he say? What just now he heard? What did he hear?
He knew the father was alive.
No, that's not what he heard.
Benjamin is with him.
No.
He heard that if don't bring back,
what will happen?
His father will die.
So what is he really telling them? When you sold me, didn't you think about your father? You're telling me a whole story about your father now. But remember, 22 years ago, you sold me. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive after what you did to me? That's why they say this sentence is the hardest rebuke in the whole Bible. Because what is rebuke? You know, I can tell you and ask you and do things, everything, but when I show you the picture, when you are the judge of what you did through another story, that's... there is no other way to make sure that you understand what you did wrong. For example, with David HaMelech. With David HaMelech did what he did with Bathsheba. I'm not going to go on what the Gemara says. He didn't sin. But on the surface, he sinned. Yes. And the prophet comes to him and he tells him a story. You know, there is a guy in this town, very rich guy. He's got everything, cattle, money, property. And one day, he had a visitor. And he had a neighbor, this rich guy, a poor neighbor that had nothing, only one sheep, that he loved the sheep, loved it, chaval al hazman. Goes this rich guy, takes this only sheep of the poor guy, slaughtered it, and gives it to eat to his visitor. What do you think, David HaMelech, what should we do with this guy? What does David HaMelech say?
Kill him.
Says, that's you. What did you do? Same thing.
I was the most precious son of my father and you took me away from him.
So, what Joseph is doing and what the prophet did to David HaMelech is exactly what's going to happen to us when we come up there. They will show us and they will ask us to be the judges of what we did. We will judge and have the verdict, and according to this, we're going to pay. That's what the Midrash is saying. Look at the 12 tribes, look at the 10 brothers. They couldn't stand when they realized what they did. What would we say? when we get there and God is going to show us the real picture. And there are no games. So what is really Joseph doing? He's rebuking them in the most clever way there is, but also in the hardest way there is. Because their brother, they were sure that they were right for all those years. And suddenly, not wanting to see the real picture, the truth comes in front of them. And Joseph is telling, I'm Joseph. It won't help you. You can try not to see me, but I am here. I am your brother Joseph. Is my father still alive? Now you care about your father? When you sold me, didn't you care about my father? ולא יכלו לעמוד בפניו. Couldn't stand. Now, what would you do when something like this happens? In front of you, you have those brothers who wanted to kill you and then sold you to be a slave, to slavery. What would you do? How would you behave? Now you have the power. You are the king of Egypt. In normal life, you're not the king, you're just the second, but you are the one who rules everything. You have the power to do whatever you want. What would you do?
Put them all in jail.
By having compassion, they will feel it more than if you try to be harsh on them.
Okay, so you say that what he's really doing, he's teaching them a lesson through his compassion. And you're saying he would like to hurt them. You agree with Mark. So what do you think he did? You don't have to think. We know what he did. What did he do?
More or less, he told them that I am Yosef that you sold.
Yes.
But don't be worried, because it was the will of God.
So I'm asking the same question again. What is Joseph doing?
Forgiving.
Only forgiving?
And also,
it's much more than forgiving.
Yes.
Let's see.
He's making them part of his family.
It's unbelievable.
No. But it's also embarrassing, because they themselves said, "Look how he's treating us after what we did to him."
They were afraid if their father died. That there would be repercussions.
So look at that. He's teaching them a good lesson.
So let's see how he's teaching them the lesson. What you're saying is all true, but what we see here is a little different.
Okay.
It happens years later, when the father dies, when Jacob died, then they really get frightened, because they were sure that this was all a big game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this guy is unbelievable. Now, one of the questions we're asking, why was Judah be chosen to be the king and not Joseph? Because if we look at the picture, Joseph is this guy.
Joseph is the king. He knows how to be a king.
Yeah, but when we're talking about kingdom in Israel, who took it?
Judah.
Yeah.
Why? Because Joseph is such a tzaddik that you cannot relate to him. You know, he's too much. Look at this guy. They sold him. They tortured him. They put him in jail. He went through hell. And what is he doing?
He's forgiving.
Not only forgiving, he's looking for he wants to be together with them. He loves them. With all what they did him, he still loves them. Look what he's doing. Now they get frightened. Yosef reveals himself to them. They realize what they do. They go back. So he's calling them. And he's telling them. In Pasuk 4. Vayomer Yosef. Have you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Vayomer Yosef. Elecha. Kshuna elai. Joseph is telling his son, come to me. Vayikshu. They come. Vayomer, Ani Yosef Achichem. Now it's not only Ani Yosef Aod Avichai. It's not I'm Joseph. I am Joseph, your brother. The one you sold to Egypt. And now, don't be sad. Al Tatsvu. Why? Vayichar Benechem. Don't get angry. because you sold me. כי למחיה שלך אני אלוקים לפניכם, because God sent me to this place in order now to help you. In other words,
he's giving them an out. Why?
Yes. Okay, so it's going on, כי זה שנתיים ימים, there is a famine and there is no food, there is no food. וישלחני אלוקים, and God sent me, פסוק 7, and God sent me to you, in front of you, so I will bring you food, and I will provide you, to revive you, and ואתה. Okay, so we understand. What is Joseph telling them till now? Don't worry, you didn't send me, God sent me here, and there is a good reason for it, and that's why I'm here. Understood?
Yeah.
Okay. What is he saying in Pasuk 8?
He's saying that.
No, he said it before. That's exactly what I'm saying. And again, ve'ata lo atem shlachtem oti hena. You didn't send me here. God sent me here. And he put me there. Now, my question is, if we don't write this Pasuk, is it understood what Joseph trying to say? I think so. I think it
is.
So in other words, what is this pasuk telling us different?
He's more or less reassuring them.
So
in other
words, what is he trying to do?
Bring closeness, closer.
You said that he wants to, what? Let's say, find a way to get them in, like when he shows them, I am merciful, and that's they feel bad. But the real truth is that he's doing all what he can for them not to feel bad. This is Joseph. Yeah. We have to understand it. It's not that only, he didn't only forgave them. He didn't only forgive them. It's much more. He wants to make sure that the relationship between him and his brother is even better than what he started. Says, you sold me, you did everything. It's not you. And again, it's not you, it's God. So don't worry about it. You were the messengers of God. I have got no bad feeling to you, and you don't have to feel bad because of what you did, because God made you do it. There is this story, very interesting story. It was this king. He had a big diamond. Let's say 5 carats. Or 10 carats. I don't know how big are the stones today. And this was like the most expensive jewel he had in his treasure. One day something happened. It fell in a different way and it cracked.
Diamond cracks?
Diamonds don't crack.
In a certain way, maybe. So how do you take a diamond and make two of it?
Cut it.
So this diamond got cracked. Okay. So you can cut it.
Yeah, but not so
depends.
Easy.
No, of course not. Something happened and it cracked.
Okay.
And it can happen. Because we all know that you take a big diamond and you can divide it and fix it and do it and do a lot of things with it. So in other words, you can. Diamond is a very hard, but in certain places, it can also get scratched. Okay. I'm not an expert on diamonds, but anyway, this king was very sad. Because a scratched diamond is not like a clean diamond. This is like losing a lot of the value. So he hasn't got this precious jewel anymore. So he called all the experts. And everybody looks and says, you know, the only thing we can do is cut it into two. Make 2 stones out of it. So there will be smaller stone. But that's what we can do. It's damaged. And you see, if you make 2 stones of it, it's not half.
Yeah.
There's nothing to compare. It's like losing 90% of the value. Came this clever guy and says to the king, don't be sad. Let me see. He looks at the diamond. You know what? I'm going to make this diamond worth more than what it was before. The king looked at him and said, you crazy? How can you do this? All the experts said, the only thing I can do is cut it into half and make it 2 diamonds. And you're telling me that not only it's not going, let's say, that It's going to be two diamonds. You're going to leave it as one diamond, and you're going to make it worth more than before. Huh? Does it sound reasonable?
No.
No. So he told the king, here, look. You see the diamond? You see the scratch? Now look what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the scratch longer and scratch into the diamond a crown and your initial. And now you will have a diamond that nobody else got. And it's going to worth, and think about it, much more. Is this clever or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what Joseph is trying to do here. They damaged Joseph. That's what they think. They scratched him very hard. They make a half man out of him. They sold him as a slave. But what is Joseph telling them? You made me a slave? I am the king of Egypt. What did you make me? Look what got out. If you wouldn't have brought me here, I would be Joseph, your brother. But you brought me here, and I become the second in the kingdom of Egypt. And you know, you don't even realize the power that Joseph had. This is, you cannot even imagine. Think about the ancient world and the power of a king. And think of a king that gives a slave the power to be the second to him. In other words, he controls the whole nation, the whole country, everything except one thing, the king. The only thing above him is the king. Can you imagine this? And we're talking about Egypt. That till now, people are trying to understand things they did then. So clever they were. So much wisdom. And this Joseph is on top of everything. So, what did you do wrong? He's asking the brothers. Vayasimeni le'av le'paro. He put me a father to Pharaoh. So what did you do? Did you do wrong or good?
Yeah, you elevated me.
This is Joseph.